Lord, we just ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. Father, give us grace to hear truth, Father God. Give us courage to bring it into pass. And Almighty God, we ask you that you and you alone would be the voice in our head. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I forgive you, Brian. Did you see what he was doing? Well, they are married. I'm just going to say. Cool down. I see. Brian, always keep your marriage certificate close. I have a little small copy just to tell people, hey, I'm married. I can do that. That's right. I have permission from the state of Oregon. Pursuing his voice, Mark 4:9. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't that funny? He who has ears to hear,
let him hear. Amen.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear what he's saying here. You who are able to hear, listen. He who has ears, let him hear. So in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening.
Amen. Amen.
I want to take you back. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times. I want you to get a picture. How many of you ever had crystal sets? AM radio crystal sets. How many of you are old enough to know what a crystal set is? Thank you, Val.
I don't feel so old.
Oh, Brittany. Now, a crystal set is simply the simplest radio frequency obtainer that you can make. You can make one pretty simply. I used to have one. I used to listen to baseball games late at night when my father told me to go to bed, and I wanted to listen to the baseball game. But here's the thing about a crystal set. It's very delicate, and getting the channel in is hard. How many of you know that right this very second, there are hundreds of radio stations floating through the air? Really? All you have to do is, if you had a little radio, you could pick up AM, FM, UHF, ham radio, CB, HD. Look. I want you to think about the myriad, what you can't see right now, not to mention networks, computer networks, and all of the things that are going on right around us right at this moment. That's what God is doing every day. The Lord came and stood there calling us at the other times. Can I tell you that the Lord is speaking all the time? He is calling all the time to his people. And some of us are going, trying to figure it in. And other people are going, where's my TV? I don't want to hear that voice. I want to watch TV. I want to read my book. I want to go call my friend. Because this is what Eli told Samuel. Go tell, the next time you hear that voice, say, speak, for your servant is listening.
Amen.
Now, did God's voice change? Did what God said change? What changed? Samuel wasn't looking anymore for the voice of man. He said, speak, for your servant is listening. He no longer was looking for Eli. Not just hearing the voice, but listening to it. Because first of all, he heard the voice that said, Samuel. And he went, oh, must be Eli. Yeah, what do you want? But Eli told him, "That wasn't me, son. That was the voice of God." Now, when the voice of God says it again, you say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Look, in 7 times in Isaiah and in Revelation, God says, "Listen to me. Listen. Listen." It's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
In Jeremiah 7:13 and multiple other places, all through Proverbs, he says, "You're not listening to me." How many of you say that to your children when they're not listening to you? And they go, "Uh-huh." Some of us are like that. "No, I was listening, God." "Okay, what did I say?" It was holy, something like that thing. And so we have to make an active choice to listen. Samuel grew up in the temple. That's all Samuel knew. And yet, it says he did not know God. Some of you have grown up in church. Some of you have been around church your whole lives. And you don't know the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear it. It's like, "Yeah, what? Was that you, Jason? Was that you, Nikki? Were you talking to me?" "No, that wasn't me." Because see, although we know of him, we don't know him. How you know him is when you know his voice. When his voice says, "Jason," and you go, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Amen.
Not, "Huh?" Or, "Shh, ESPN's on."
Well, one day he sought to know him. He didn't know him, but one day he sought to know him. He sought to take the time to listen to his voice. Not just hear it around him anymore, but to genuinely listen to it, which means, once again, I'm gathering information.
I had your coffee.
If you hear something and you walk out and you can't remember what it was said, you heard it, but you weren't listening to it all because you didn't gather anything in. But that's just what he wanted to do. "Lord, I want to know you. I want to understand you." If you go on, at the end of 3, 1 Samuel 3, I want you to get this. Now, this is after he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Down in verse 19, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground." Come on. Now, you know what that meant? It meant Samuel was listening. See, no longer is the Lord walking around going, "Samuel, Samuel, Samuel," and the words are falling to the ground because Samuel thinks it's Eli talking to him. He's like, "Oh, no, no, no. See, if it's you speaking to me, Lord, I'm going to heed every word. I'm going to listen. I'm going to gather in every word, and not one of them is going to fall to the ground." And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. This really doesn't have anything to do too much with what we're talking about tonight, more what we were talking about last Tuesday night, but Shiloh means peace. So where did he continue to reveal himself to Samuel? That place of peace. He continued to reveal himself again and again, and Samuel did not let a single one of his words fall to the ground. One day, God spoke to Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8. "And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying," once again, I heard it, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Who was God talking to? Everybody who was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Who answered? One guy. You don't hear, it didn't say, "And a cacophony of voices said,
uh-huh,
yes, Lord, send me." It wasn't. You like that word? Spell that. Cacophony. Now you have to look it up.
Isaiah heard the voice. Isaiah heeded the voice. Isaiah answered the voice. In verse 9, he said, "The Lord, go and tell these people, be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. What God was talking about here is this people that hear, but they don't understand. Again, that's, I hear, but I don't understand. Why don't I understand what was said? Because I didn't take the time to listen. I didn't gather in any information. I just heard the noise going on around. Or it says, those who see, but do not perceive. I see that something's going on around here, and I might even think that it's the Lord, but I cannot perceive what's happening at all, which is what happens sometimes to people. To hear is to simply hear a sound, but to really listen is to gather in that information, which is what God wants to do. He wants you to listen to what he's saying, not just hear his voice, but listen.
See, and when you listen, actually grasping a hold of it, an understanding, remember we're supposed to seek understanding, right? We're supposed to be pursuing understanding. And he says, seeing but not perceiving. How many of you see things and then it's gone? Somebody goes, what color car was that? You lose somebody in the mall. What color shirt were they wearing? I don't know. Men always should remember what your wife is wearing, by the way. Especially if your wife's like mine, who can do the Obi-Mom Kenobi in the mall. Poof. Literally, Andy and I standing there, we're at the rack, she's on the other side, we're talking, I look at Andy, he looks at me, and poof, she's gone. And as far as we can see in the store, we can see everywhere, and she's gone. Like vapor. That is called an Obi-Mom Kenobi. And Andy, what was she wearing? I know exactly what she was wearing. See, but we need to be able to perceive, because perceive is to understand what the eyes have taken in. To perceive is to understand what the eyes have taken in. Throughout the Word, we see God talking in 12, he speaks in a lot of ways. We're gonna focus on 12 different ways that God speaks to his people. Because how many of you know that God uses multiple avenues, because some people can't hear, some people can't see, some people can't feel, some people can't, right? And so God says, wait a minute, let me make myself clear. I will help you. So first of these 12 things, circumstances. Circumstances. God speaks through circumstances. Look at Jonah, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar. Jonah went, la, 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 I'm not listening, I'm not listening. And he jumped into a boat, and God said, well, let me shake up your world. Let's start a little storm and see what you do. Finally, Jonah goes, hey, guys, it's me. Toss me off the boat into the mouth of the great fish, out of the mouth of the great fish, vomited up on the seashore. Blech. Now, look, is that a circumstance? By the way, Jonah, I told you to go to Nineveh. Right? Is that not circumstance telling Jonah? Jonah, I'm going to get you here one way or the other. You could have taken the ship to Nineveh and not had to take the fish belly. I imagine those 3 days in the belly of the fish were pretty stout. The fiery furnace that Nebuchadnezzar saw, that he wasn't God, that circumstance revealed to him who God was. He spoke very clearly. Didn't we throw three in, and is there not four? And is not one as the Son of Man, of God in the fire? Number two, godly counsel. Godly counsel. Look at Solomon. Solomon was a boy, and he sought the wisdom of God. Can I tell you, as a boy, he depended on the counsel of others as what to do. He asked God for wisdom, and God surrounded himself with godly counsel. Moses was surrounded with godly counsel also. He said, wait a minute. And his father-in-law said, Moses, this is too much for you. Listen, set up captains of hundreds and captains of thousands and have judges over them so that you will not become overburdened. Can I tell you that is wise counsel that Moses listened to? Otherwise, Moses would have pulled his hair out a lot earlier never even gotten close to the promised land.
God has put around you godly counsel that if you will seek it, he'll speak to you through that. God will speak through circumstances. He'll speak through godly counsel. God will speak through people. I have had believers and unbelievers who have spoken to me. I remember one time this divine moment with my father, who's absolutely an unbeliever. And he said something to me, and I knew. In that moment, it was the voice of God speaking to me. He helped me to understand something about God's love that I'd been wrestling with for the first year and a half that I had been saved. And boom, in a moment, just like that, I'm like, what is the Holy Ghost speaking right through you? And you didn't even know what you're doing here in this moment. So God will speak to you through people. God will speak through his prophets. That's what the prophets did. God spoke to them, and they brought a word of the Lord to the people. Jeremiah was a prophet. Ezekiel, in Acts 21, 10 through 11, you can see a story of a prophet who comes and speaks. So God will speak through his prophets.
Okay, so one is circumstance, two, godly counsel, three, people, four, prophets. Got them? Number five, animals. Balaam's donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Balaam's donkey. Noah's dove. The colt that Christ sent his disciples for. Like I said on Friday, how many of you would like it if I said, go down to the Chevy dealership and tell them that I have need of that pretty yellow Camaro down there? Well, you think they'd give it to you? Just gonna say. But see, God's word in Job says in 12:27, Job 12:27, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds of the air and they will tell you. Can I tell you, God speaks very clearly through his creation. 12:7. Thanks, Noelle. She's right. Number six, dreams and visions. A dream, when your head is on the pillow and you are sleeping. A vision, when you're not. I mean, that's pretty clear, right? We read about dreams and visions. Jacob had visions. Peter had a dream. We see dreams and visions all the way through. Joseph had dreams. Joseph got himself in trouble. John had dreams. John had visions, both dreams and visions, in the book of Revelation. Right? So God speaks very clearly.
God will speak through your thoughts. God will speak to your thoughts sometimes. Amos 14:13, he who forms the mountains, creates the winds, and reveals his thoughts to man. Sometimes God speaks right here, and you know. But the thought that I'm having right now is not mine, but it's God's. That ever happened to anybody? He gave
it's
you a
usually
brain.
That one that you go,
mind.
Are
right.
You serious?
Absolutely, God will speak to your thoughts. He will speak through natural manifestations. In his Bible, you see that he's spoken that through thunder, earthquakes, lightning, these natural manifestations. Remember the cloud that they followed? You remember that by day? That was just a natural manifestation, and God's going this way. Follow me this way. And so sometimes he will use natural manifestations to speak to his people.
Next, he'll use supernatural manifestations. Pillar of fire, a mountaintop that was on fire, right? A burning bush that wasn't consumed. The Red Sea and the River Jordan. Supernatural manifestations that were very clear pictures of what God was saying. Amen? Another way that God will speak to us, through the Bible, his holy word. A love letter written to you by your father. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen?
God will speak to your hearing. He will speak in a whisper. He will speak in a still, small voice like he spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:21. or where he said, my sheep hear my voice and follow after me. So God will come and he will whisper. He will speak into your hearing. He will also speak through peace. He will speak through his peace. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. And in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. He will move you. He will speak to you through his peace.
See, God's speaking all the time. But those who know him perceive him. God is speaking all the time. But those who know him perceive him. And those who fear and love him heed when he speaks. Those who fear and love him heed. What's that mean to heed? It means you do.
You do
what he says. It means to be obedient. To heed. When you heed the stop sign, it means you stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Proverbs 16:20. New King James says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. He who perceives, understands, and obeys the word wisely will find good. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Heed the voice and the words of the Lord. We have a responsibility to steward the spoken word of God. We have a responsibility to steward. What does it mean to steward?
Take care of.
To take care of something that's not yours. To take care of something that's not yours. The word of God is not yours. It's his. He gives us the ability to steward it. He says, here is my word. Steward it wisely. I'm going to give you my car. Steward it wisely. I'm going to allow you to use my house. Steward it wisely. That's what he's saying with his word. Amen?
So when God says, forgive, and you don't, then are you stewarding wisely the word that he gave you in prayer when he told you, I want you to forgive them? I want you to love them even though they don't deserve it, even though they're radically unlovely? And you walk away and you go, can't do that today. Are you heeding and stewarding the word wisely? Nope.
Look, God doesn't speak just to hear his voice. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't speak to hear his voice. How many of you parents love it when you go like this? Wah, 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 and your children go.
I'm not talking to you to hear myself speak.
Every dad does, don't they? I know that one does.
You see my mouth moving? That means I'm talking. That means you should be listening. That's what I told my children. That means what I'm saying, this is the gospel, according to your daddy. Now, this is what God says. I am bringing forth my word, which is life and truth to you, and you are accountable to steward it. I'm going to tell you. God says, I spoke to you. What are you going to do with my word? I didn't hear it. You could be like Jonah. I'm going to Tarshish instead of Nineveh because I don't like it. I don't want to do what you said. How'd that work out for Jonah? Balaam. God said no. Balaam asked again. God said no. Balaam asked again. God said fine. You know what almost happened to Balaam? If it hadn't have been for his donkey, I think that angel would have cut him in half right there. But see, we have a responsibility. He speaks. Here's the order. He speaks. You listen. You perceive. And you do. Right? That's our responsibility. In Luke 8:18. I want you to get a hold of this. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Wait a minute. Okay, now most people have, for whoever has to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Now most people think of that in this worldly, if I give away stuff, then I'll get stuff. What he said is, therefore take heed how you hear.
That's right.
I want you to, let this soak in. What you hear from God, stewarding the word of God, what he says is take heed how you hear, because whoever has hearing, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So God says, look, when I speak, you have a duty to listen to me and to do what I have said. I am making you responsible for my word that goes forth from my mouth and will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Is that not what God's word says? His word will not return void. But he says, here's why. He says, my word will not return void. For whoever has it, listens, has taken heed to what they hear, more will be given. If you hear and obey and do what God says, more will be given. And to you, if you stop, this is why people go, I can't hear the voice of God. You know what I tell people when they say, I can't hear the voice of God? I say, what was the last thing God told you that you know that the voice of God told you? And they'll tell me, and I'll go, okay, did you do it? Well, I wanted, but I really tried, and I thought about it. Really? Go back to the last specific order, the last specific thing that God gave you to steward, and do what he told you to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get more, because whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. I remember the voice of God. Yeah. It probably was, do this, and you went, pancakes. That's hard. Can I have pancakes instead?
He says to heed the word wisely, but then, look at this little word right here. The problem is, with this little word right here, how you hear. Are you hearing through what? Which filter? Your offended filter?
Oh.
Your angry filter?
Oh.
Your scared filter?
Uh-oh.
Your experience of 10 years ago filter? See, this is the problem. Therefore, take heed how you hear. If you want to hear the voice of God, you've got to be humble enough and willing to heed what he says. The problem is, so often, how we hear is through a hardened heart. How you hear is through the condition of your heart most of the time. And my heart is hardened either by fear or pride or my own agenda or my own doubts or my own experiences or whatever it is. God's words are like seeds. They're living. And they're to come to bring life and fruit within us when they are planted. But in order for them to be rightly planted, in order for them to bring forth fruit and life to us and to those around us, then they must come into soft soil, which is humble. We have got to be humble in how we hear, or we're not going to heed, and we're going to hear inappropriately what he's saying. Have you ever stood and you have listened to somebody at the altar pray for somebody or a prophetic word, and you heard it, and you heard it go right into that person's ears, and that person says, can you believe what God just said? God just said, blah, 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 and you're like, well, that's not what I heard. Did you hear what they prayed for me? Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. It was not. They said, blah, blah. You know what happened? How they heard. They were angry. They were hurt. It was the condition of their heart. And God brought this seed. He brought this word. But it couldn't get planted rightly because their heart was hardened. And it couldn't. Scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you know why the meek inherit the earth? Because they are able to receive, to properly heed the words of God into their heart, because their hearts are humble. So whatever God comes and says, they're humble, they're meek. and they're willing to hear and they're willing to heed. Like James, we must receive the word of God with humility. We must learn how to hear the words of God with humility, with a humble and a contrite heart. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. If you go into
James 1:21.
If you go into the book of Luke, how much time do we have? And you read about the soils. Okay, I'm just going to read part of this. Jesus is teaching them about the soil. I'm going to start down on 11. The seed is the word of God. Got it? The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And the devil comes and takes away the words from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but then they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. That's where you're real soft and pliable on the surface, but beneath you're a whole lot of hardness. The seed that fell along thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go along their way are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed that fell on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Amen. A noble, a good, a humble heart will produce. They'll take that word in, they'll retain it, they'll persevere with it, and they'll produce a crop from it.
Can I want you to get a hold of this? We're talking about stewarding the word of God. Dreams and visions. Joseph was given two dreams. Because of his immaturity and his inability to handle it properly, what did he do? He went and got himself thrown in a pit. They were going to kill him, and instead they stole him to slavery. Because of his immaturity in dealing with these dreams and what he did with them, you know what? He didn't ever have any more dreams. You remember that scripture that said, to him that has, more will be given unto him? Heed how you hear. But even that which you have will be taken away from you. Because, see, Joseph used those dreams with pride. I saw my sheaves, and they were standing over your sheaves, and they said, bow down to me. And I saw even the sun and the moon, mom and dad, bowing down before me. What happened to Joseph? Guess what? He got to spend a lot of time. He never got another dream. He had the ability to interpret dreams. Now, did that mean God was done with him?
Mm-mm.
God used him. God performed a mighty thing in Joseph's life. And he used him to fulfill even the prophecy that he had given him in his own dream. See, the problem was Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams, and God gave him two dreams. And he interpreted them, I think, pretty well to his family. Oh, that means I'm going to rule over you guys. You're going to be under me. Oh, and by the way, mom and dad are too. Now, God removed that from him, and he got to spend a lot of time. He still had the gift of interpretation of dream, but God never gave him any more dreams. God never gave him any more dreams. I want you to think about that. Why? Because of the pride in Joseph's heart. He was his father's favorite. His father made no bones about that. But what it caused him to was not to take heed, not to hear the voice of God as God's heart.
I want you to think about that for a minute. He already had the favor of his father, and yet he needed to run around and parade that before everyone, and he lost it. You need to be careful about trying to prove to the world, trying to prove to the world what God has already given unto you. It's like Jacob when he was wrestling for the blessing that he already had. And what did he get out of it?
Bum
wounded. Hip. Bum hip the rest of his life. Why was he wrestling for what he already had? Why was Joseph parading around what he'd already been given, which was his father's favor? Pride will cause people to do goofy things, and it will cause you to not be able to hear the voice of God correctly. Typically what will happen is pride will cause you to hear the familiar voice of the imposter more than the true voice of your father. So to be very careful about pride. When God spoke to Jonah, like Pastor was talking about, and he refused to hear God's voice, God uses circumstances to put him in a little isolation chamber until he could humble himself. And when he humbled himself and he cried out unto God, God spoke to him, Scripture says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time.
Now I want you to think about Jonah. In the end of the story, Jonah says, after he comes to Nineveh, and they hear the word of God, and they repent. See, I don't know why you sent me here anyway. They were just going to turn anyway. Why didn't you just forgive them? It was the pride of Jonah's heart. He's like, I'm kind of busy here where I am, God, and I don't want to go to Nineveh, and you're going to forgive them anyway, and why don't you just let them repent now? Come on now. This is what he did. He was like, I'm very full of myself, and I know who you are, God, and you're going to do this, and so I don't know why you need me. You know why he needed Jonah? Because he said he did. And Jonah needed to understand the lesson much more than God needed to understand the lesson. Jonah needed to understand that God was in control and that God does things God's way for a purpose. One man turned the tide of a nation, and they did not die and go into eternity into the lake of fire. Because it says, they rent their clothing and they repented.
Mm-hmm.
They turned from their ways. Because of one man's actions, great revival. All right, so finally, how can you tell if the voice that you're hearing, that the station you've tuned your radio into, is the voice of God?
There you go.
And it's not just the pizza you had last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If what you've seen is a sign from God or an imposter. Because people go, okay, God, if you want me to pick up that $100 bill on the ground and not tell anybody about it, let a blackbird fly across the sky. Right? Come on, people use signs like that. How do you know if it's from God or not? I mean, this is part of what we're talking about. It's confirmed through four separate things. It's confirmations that God gives us in these four separate areas. First of all, his word. He will never tell you to do something that contradicts his word. He absolutely will not tell you to do something that contradicts his word. Now, let me say, you must take the entire word of God.
That's right.
I have a friend who took this word out of the Bible that said, and God said to Moses, put away your foreign wives. Now at this time, he was frustrated with his wife, and he went, wait a minute, my wife was born in Germany. She is a foreign wife. God is telling me to put away my foreign wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he divorced her.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
I'm serious. Now wait a minute. I take a little out of context. Thank you very much. So don't take things in God's word. Here's what most people do. I am trying to find a way to divorce my spouse. And so Matthew 19, it says, they've been unfaithful, I can divorce them. That's what the word says. Really? I can show you 12 other places where it says, if you have a spouse, do not divorce them. So did God contradict himself? No. He's talking about two separate things, Matthew 19. Sit down, ask me about it, I'll tell you the whole story. But here's what Jesus said about divorce. Moses allowed it because of the hardness of your heart. From the beginning, it was not so. Just got to say. So once again, take God's word. Take all of God's word. Don't just go looking for, wait a minute, I want to sin. Let's see. It says in Romans, all have sinned. Woohoo! I can go sin. All have sinned, right? And where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So by sinning, I'm merely creating a place for grace. Look, I mean, I can make a good argument, and you know what? I could probably convince 100 people on the street that that's a good reason to sin. I'm just telling you. See, look, it says right here. I'll show you in the Bible. It says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, so I am getting you grace because I'm going to sin like crazy. But you've got to take the whole word because it says, then shall we sin that grace may abound much more? Certainly not.
Which is number two, which is you confirm it not only through his word, but you confirm it through his spirit or through his character. God is not going to contradict his character. He just won't. He's not going to tell you to do something that is absolutely the opposite of the character of God. And so, if he would have known the character of God, rather than just searching the word of God to get rid of the wife that he didn't want anymore, he would have gone, okay, now wait a minute. This is not the character of God. This is not what God does. This is not how God treats people. So in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So if you're in a situation where you're going, well, is this God? I need to make a decision right now, and I'm not sure, and I see these circumstances, but I want confirmation. I want to make certain before I make a step, is this really God? Then check his word. And then check his spirit and his character and say, does this line up with his word? Does this line up with the character of God?
Next, godly counsel. Godly counsel.
The key is godly. Don't seek everyone's counsel. Seek godly counsel.
Jeremiah 3:15. Then I, who's the I in this? Okay. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Godly counsel. You must seek godly counsel. Like I was talking about earlier, don't just ask everybody and get an opinion poll, because here's what people do. Do you agree with me, Matt? You don't? Okay. Jeff, do you agree with me? You don't. Okay. Paul, do you agree with me? Oh, sweet. Paul does. I asked three people, and I got an agreement that said I was right and Beth was wrong. I'm just saying, this is what people do. It's crazy. People come to me and go, what do you think I should do, Pastor? I go, I don't know. Well, I've talked to 10 people and they said, so I'm 11. Are we building a consensus? Are we trying to have a quorum? Those beautiful political words that have nothing to do with God? Can I tell you that God plus no one is a majority? And when God says it is so, you don't have to take a vote. You don't have to build a quorum. You don't have to ask 27 people. God said it is, and it is. Amen. He said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who lead you with knowledge and understanding. That doesn't just mean Beth and I. That means shepherds, people after my own heart, who are after the heart of God. Not just after their own agenda. I want your tithe. I want your hind end in my chair. I want your child at my clinic. No. Somebody who's after God's heart. What is God's heart for you? See, if you know that, then you'll know shepherds after God's heart. How will you know? Not by asking somebody, what's God's heart for me? God's heart for you is to give me your Mercedes and your home and to send me to Antigua for a week. That's what I believe God's heart is for you. Thank you. Here. See? You should know what God's heart is for you, and then you will find someone, and it will line up, and you'll go, that's somebody who is after God's heart, and they have godly counsel for me.
And I really want to strongly, strongly encourage you. Last Sunday, we talked about simplifying. And Christians get very, very, very confused, because maybe you have 15 people in your life that you would say are godly counselors. You need to make one decision and you go ask all 15. And then you're confused. Of course you're confused. Because you asked 15 people. and you got 15. I will just tell you, when people come to me and they say, well, I've asked 10 different people, most of the time I won't give them my opinion. If I know that somebody has come to me for counseling and they have two other counselors that they're in counseling with already, on like in some sort of a therapist or that, I am so careful about counseling with them, because I don't ever want to say anything that is going to be the opposite of this counselor and bring more confusion into their life. I will back myself out and I will say, you know, let me think about this, or I want to make sure I'm really, really careful how I do that. And so I really want to encourage you, if you have to make a decision, say, God, I want to confirm this through godly counsel. Who would you like me to ask? There was a time in my life where I was really frustrated with the Word of God. I'd been saved a couple of years. I didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God confused me at every level. The more I read it, the more confused I got, and the more sorry I was I became a Christian. The only thing that I thought that was really awesome about it was that my husband wasn't drinking anymore, so that was a good deal. But for me, it wasn't really working for me. And I decided that I just needed to simplify. Because I would go to a friend and I'd say, well, I read this today, and what does this mean? And they would tell me, and I'd be like, oh. And then Jerry would call me from work, and he'd go, hey, baby, I was listening to Focus on the Family. It's this really awesome thing. And I turn it on, and that would seem to contradict it. And I was so confused. And I said, God, if I'm going to stick with this, I need to simplify. And this is what he told me. He said, if you have a question, ask me. Ask your husband. Ask Judy. This one lady at church. And that was it. He gave me those three people. And he said, one of these three people will give you an answer. And all three of their answers, if you ask all three, will line up. And I did that, Kimmy, for 2 years. And I tell you what, I got so stinking grounded in the Word. It was unbelievable. I didn't have any more confusion. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. If I had a question, it was like, I even stopped listening to all Christian radio. I said, baby, don't do it anymore. I love you, but I cannot listen to your show.
Hey, I'm listening to this great thing. Listen to this. And she go, okay, great. And I come home and go, did you listen to that? No.
I found my faith. Not everybody else's faith. I found my faith, which has been very hard for the devil to move me from ever since. And the last thing is peace. It will be confirmed with God's peace. Remember the scriptures that we read a little earlier, which says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That means he's the dictator. The peace of God should be dictating to you and ruling to you what you should be doing. There's that confirmation that comes with peace. You need to seek not worldly peace, but do I have the peace of God in this? Is the peace of God confirming and leading me in this?
Again, peace is not this warm, fuzzy feeling that you get. Can I tell you? Peace, you will know. Jesus said, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. See, not as the world gives do I give unto you, but it's the peace of God passes all understanding. And so what we have to grasp a hold of there is, it's not like Calgon, take me away, peace. Which people mistake quiet for peace. Quiet is not peace. Can I tell you, in the middle of battle, when bullets are flying over you, when everything around you is in chaos, you can be at peace. Because people go, peace, that must mean I'm not at war and nobody is after me and nobody's angry with me, and then I know that it's God. No, that is not true. When I know that I have the peace of God within me, I can be at battle. I can be in the middle of everyone hating me and the world going on around me, and I am in this peace bubble, and I'm like, and people are like, this is what happens. Are you sure you're okay? You know, most people would be distraught. Yeah? Honestly, people will look at you and go, wait a minute, your house burned down. Your dogs ran away. Your children have been taken from you. And you seem a little peaceful. I know. It's okay. God has it well in hand. See, I have peace. There's a difference. Most people look for peace like, Everything's calm. Calm is not peace. Mm-hmm. Peace is peace.
And remember, the shepherd will lead you, and the butcher will always drive you. So if you're feeling driven, it's probably the butcher. If you're feeling led, it's probably your shepherd. The shepherd's always in front of the sheep, leading them. The butcher's always behind, driving them right to the place of slaughter.
You know, whenever you feel like this, I have to do this right now.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
That's probably when you feel like you're whoosh, whoosh. I've got people are like, Pastor, I have to make this decision right now. I'm like, are you being led or are you being pushed?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being led or are you being pushed? Because if you're led, it's not like I have to get there right now. It's like I am following right here. I don't really know where we're going, but I'm following right there. Versus, let's get that taser out of my back. I have to go do this right now. That's the butcher. The butcher is driving you, and where he is driving you is not a place of peace. Can I tell you? The butcher is taking you. Oh, you've got to do this. This is the only way you're going to get peace. This is the only way you're going to have to make these decisions right now, and you need to do it. I challenge you to look where God says, you must make this decision immediately. You must do it exactly this second. God says, here's the timing, and here's the way I've done it for you. I have led you. I have given you a path. The butcher says, you better do it now. You better do it now or else. What's going to happen to you? God will abandon you. He won't be with you anymore. That's not God's voice. Remember, his mm-hmm. voice lines up in those four areas.
That's right. He had me, you know, the other one. Now that I remember this, he had my pastor, too, in there. He had the lady from work, which I thought was so nice of him that he gave me a woman. Because I'm like, kind of want to have a woman's perspective, too, here, God. So I had Judy, and I had Jerry.
You seen that Progresso commercial?
Can I speak to a woman?
Like, my pants fit. Okay. No, you don't understand. My pants fit. Okay. Can I speak to a woman? Sometimes you do need that perspective.
But it was good because my pastor said, your pastor, which was good because sometimes I'd listen to this pastor on TV and this pastor on TV and this pastor, and then I'd get more confused. And he said, these people, your pastor, your husband, Judy, and me. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. Simplify. Has this helped you to learn how to hear the voice of God?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, Father, we just come before you right now, and we ask you, give us ears to hear, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And those who have ears, let them hear.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, give us eyes to see, and those who have eyes, let them perceive.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, give us understanding and wisdom in all that we do. We ask that you and you alone be the one who leads and guides. In your precious and mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pursue your voice. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're ready to hear from the voice of God, or you just want to get on your face and sit with him like Samuel often did, then the altar is open to you tonight. Or if you need healing or anything from God, we're here to pray for you. Otherwise, we love you. Have a blessed week. And if you want to join us afterwards over at Old Chicago, that'd be great.